Hey guys, before we get to today's episode, do you know the number one mistake couples make planning their wedding that is costing them a fortune? Most couples are guilty of making the same expensive wedding planning mistakes, and so I put together a free guide to help you save your budget. You can grab the guide at planningcollective.com/free-guides and get the immediate download to see if you've already made any of these mistakes, and if so, how you can get back on track. So don't let these oversights ruin your budget. Grab the free guide today. Planningcollective.com/free-guides, and I'll include the link in the show notes. Now let's get on to the episode. Hi, I'm Kate McClellan, pro wedding planner with over 16 years of experience helping more than 400 couples down the aisle. I started Planning Collective to help all couples get through the overwhelm of wedding planning by sharing my actionable tips and tools that I've used over the years working with my clients. We'll focus on getting rid of what I like to call FOWO, the fear of wedding oversight. This is an unfortunate condition that almost every couple will suffer from at some point. Let's get you back to enjoying the planning process. Here we go. Hey guys, Kate here. Welcome back to another episode of the Wedding Planning Collective podcast. Today's episode is a special one as I'm going to be sharing some wedding day stories from this past summer, along with some tips on how to handle the wedding day curveballs that will inevitably come your way. Before we get started though, I do want to stress that all of these stories have made the cut here because they are not normal. While it's highly likely that something will go off plan on your wedding day, these are all on the more extreme side, and I don't want them to scare you into being paranoid that something like this will happen. After I share these stories, we'll circle back to some common themes and tips to help make you feel prepared, even if something bigger does happen on your wedding day. Okay, story number one. Spring here in Michigan is typically an amazing time to have an outdoor wedding. Though you always have the risk of rain, people are generally so excited to be outside again after a long winter that even if it is mild or a little wet, it's going to feel so nice and toasty compared to the temperatures that we just got through like a month or so ago. This is the exact reason why one couple we were working with picked the first weekend in June this past year. Once they decided to have a backyard wedding, they didn't want the risk of waiting later into the summer and the weather being too hot. The bride had her heart set on a clear top tent, and we worked together for about a year pulling together all of the design and rental details for an absolutely stunning reception. Unfortunately, as the week of the wedding arrived, the forecast was showing highs well into the 90s with solid sun. Now, for some of you, that might sound normal or not too bad. My sister lives in Houston, and we were just laughing about the fact that they're gearing up for a very frigid weather on Halloween because their high will only be 65 that day. So I get that this might not sound as extreme to some, but for us here in Michigan, it was definitely a concern. And if you're not familiar with the clear top tent, they have the same structure or frame as a regular tent, but as the name implies, the top is clear rather than white so you can see the sky. They are absolutely stunning, but come with the fun quirk of creating a greenhouse effect under the tent. And if you have solid sun, it can feel like someone is aiming that sun directly at you with a magnifying glass. Because of this, I never recommend them in the prime summer months unless the area is shaded by trees or you're going to put draping over the ceiling, which really kind of defeats the purpose of having that clear top tent anyway. Michigan temperatures in early June are typically in the low 70s, but even on the high end of 70s, it's still pretty chilly at night, and with June being one of the rainiest months, there's rarely a fully clear sky. So mid-90s without a cloud in the sky was definitely not what we were expecting. But even though it was warmer than we anticipated, there wasn't much that could be done other than just being prepared with lots of hydrating beverages for the guests. However, during setup, the extreme heat did throw us for a couple of curveballs. Setup took much longer than anticipated because we had to take breaks to get out of the heat. If we had a regular tent to give us shade, it wouldn't have been that big of an issue. But as I was dropping linens and taking care of other setup items, the heat was really getting to me. I had plenty of water and I was popping into the house and my car to cool down a bit, But looking back, I was definitely feeling some early signs of heat stroke. I found myself getting dizzy, nauseous, and even a bit confused as the day went on. I had my amazing assistants there to make sure everything still ran smoothly. And once we made it through the direct sun being on us, thankfully, before the guests began to arrive, it became much more comfortable. Outside of the impact of people setting up, it flipped our floral setup schedule totally backwards. It was a floral-heavy event with an entrance installation in the front of the tent. However, we couldn't set the flowers out under the tent too early, or they would be all sad and wilted before the reception even started. The florist waited as long as they possibly could, added some more team members in to make sure it could get done, but it was definitely tight. And on top of that, the heat melted the beautiful tapered candles that were a part of the design. About half of them were all sadly flopped over and unusable after being under the heat in the tent. Despite all of this, it was still a gorgeous day. If you are going to be outside and you're worried about heat, make sure that you have a setup team prepared to do this work for you. This is my job. I am absolutely fine with feeling dizzy or a little off kilter on a wedding day. But if the couple themselves had to take care of any of this setup, it would be really hard to bounce back from that and then enjoy the celebration. It did take me a couple of days to recover from it myself. The second story I want to share is probably one of the most pre-wedding nightmares that brides have, but it was the first time anything like this has happened to me in 20 years of weddings. We had an early brunch ceremony and reception, so it was an early morning for hair and makeup at the venue. We were planning on doing a quick first look with the bride and groom, signing the ketubah and the marriage license all before the ceremony at 11 a.m. We're getting ready for the first look when someone came to let me know that there was something wrong with the bride's dress. I go to see what's going on, and the entire length of the zipper was broken. And not just a little ripped, but like fully broken. The not fixable kind of broken. I always have sewing kits on me, but it's typically for a bridesmaid's strap or maybe fixing a bustle or the groom's button that popped up. So this was going to be something we had to get creative on. The only option we had was to literally sew the bride into the dress. And I have to say, her attitude could not have been any better. Well, sure, she was stressed and a little disappointed. She was also able to laugh about how silly it was that we were sewing her into her dress minutes before the ceremony. It took quite some time since we didn't have the proper needles for such a thick fabric, and since she had to be in the dress, we had to be really careful not to stick her with the needle. We finally finished the sewing and got her to the first look only about 10 to 15 minutes late. The rest of the day was absolutely perfect, and I helped cut her out of the dress before they left. Another first for me after 20 years. We're taking things back outside for story number 3, though now that I think about it, the story actually has a small sub-story in the mix as well. The ceremony and reception were to be outside, and though we knew it was likely there was going to be rain, we had a beautiful backup location for the ceremony and a tent for the reception. Getting to the sub-story first, there was a moment during the day that the bride seemed upset. But as the vendors, we couldn't really figure out what she was upset by or what was going on. The weather didn't seem to faze her. Earlier in the week, we had discussed the likelihood that we would need to be inside for the ceremony, and she truly seemed fine with that. Well, later on, we learned that they were supposed to go to Maui on their honeymoon in 2 days, but they had just learned that the resort had been totally destroyed by the awful fires there over the summer. While they were, of course, disappointed, they also realized how lucky they were that it didn't happen while they were there, and they also recognized that it was a devastating time for those living in Maui. They knew that they would get their honeymoon figured out by getting a credit or being transferred to a different date at a different resort, but the fact was, on their wedding day, they had no idea what they were going to do on that Monday, and she had really jumped through hoops to get the time off from her relatively new job. So it makes sense to have this awful situation weighing on you, especially the more you try to push it off to the side. Now, these were day of clients. We weren't involved in the full planning of the wedding. So I had just heard this about the honeymoon during dinner. So when I heard the tornado sirens going off during their first dance, I was really hoping that I was just hearing things. I went outside to listen and confirmed with the venue that it was, in fact, an active tornado warning and that we needed to evacuate the tent and get everyone inside. By this time, the bride was dancing with her dad, and we just had the mother-son dance left before we were going to open the dance floor. A quick look at the radar made it obvious that the storm was still a ways off from us. In fact, it wasn't even sprinkling at that time. I was able to get the security guard to let us wait until after the mother-son dance and then have the DJ make an announcement telling the guests exactly where we needed them to go. While she was doing this, the DJ also asked to have a couple of groomsmen help carry some of her equipment inside, and we were able to get a makeshift dance floor going while we waited for the all clear. The bride and groom actually took the opportunity to eat, as they hadn't been able to yet. And about 20 minutes later, we got the all clear and moved everyone back outside and got the dancing going. Two important things to note here. First, it was very obvious that we were not really at risk of a tornado where we were. There were really nasty storms north of us where a tornado had been spotted, but we knew at that time we were okay. We certainly wouldn't have risked anyone's safety for the sake of the parent dances if we truly were in the path of a storm. In fact, it didn't even rain one drop the entire time the guests were inside. About an hour after we got the all clear and got everyone back into the reception tent, we did get some thunderstorms, but that was all. Secondly, we had an amazing vendor team that day to make sure that the evacuation was as smooth and fun as possible. For those in the Metro Detroit area, the team at Meadowbrook Hall and Gardens was fantastic with making the transition, and our DJ, Marianne Ross, was phenomenal. Now, Marianne is a good friend and has always been one of my favorite DJs, but her dedication to giving her couples an amazing reception was truly over the top that day. We're going back to the wedding dress for the fourth story, though luckily it didn't involve a sewing kit. The bride's dress was absolutely stunning, featuring a gorgeous fitted corset. However, once they got to the reception venue, after having the dress on for about 6 hours at that point, she started to feel a little nauseous. During cocktail hour, we loosened the back of her corset up in the bridal suite to let her catch her breath a little bit before dinner. While that definitely worked, the second we tied the dress back up, she was feeling sick again. We were able to keep it kind of loose during dinner, but we needed to make sure it was good and tight before their first dance, as we really didn't want to have a wardrobe malfunction during their choreographed dance. She did an amazing job with the first dance, no malfunctions or accidental swooning or passing out. However, when they finished their dance, she gracefully but quickly stepped away from the dance floor and disappeared. Initially, I thought she was looking for her dad, as she was supposed to dance with him next, but I already had eyes on where he was, and so I went back to look for her. It turns out she barely made it through the first dance without getting sick, but somehow made it back to the bathroom in the bridal suite first. At this point, we opened up the dancing for the rest of the guests so that they didn't know what was going on, and we let her officially get out of that dress that was causing the issues. Luckily, she did have a second dress she was already planning on wearing for dancing. Once she got changed into that, she was feeling much better. And one final story for you. We're coming back to the weather throwing us for another loop. This wedding was at a lake house that was in the bride's family for decades, and they regularly host big parties there. In the early stages of planning a backyard wedding, we always talk about what happens in the yard or the property after lots of heavy rain. This particular family knew the property very well, and they never had any issues with the ground holding water where we were planning on putting the tent. However, during the year of the wedding planning, they made some significant and impressive improvements to the property, including adding in a built-in storage container bar into the hill, leveling out some of the property, and moving a large fire pit from one side of where the tent was to another. While I don't have confirmation on this, I'm guessing that these updates to the property impacted the way the water flows down the little hill there. So when we had nonstop rain the Thursday before the wedding, the ground became soggy and muddy. They immediately rented huge industrial fans to help dry everything out, but we had enough rain keep coming that it was still a mess. The available options weren't the most photogenic, but they purchased some pea gravel, floor mats, and finally some plywood to keep the guests from getting too muddy. They were able to give their guests a heads up, and many came with rain boots on and just made the best of it. And while it may not have been the thing that they chose to be memorable about the day, the guests didn't let a little mud or rain ruin their day, and neither did the bride and groom. So why am I sharing these wedding day curveball stories with you if my intention isn't to terrify you about something going wrong on your wedding day? It's to stress that even if something big does go wrong, the day is far from ruined, right? You can't control the weather, traffic, guest behavior, or a broken zipper, but you can control how you react to the bumps in the road. While these are extreme stories, it's likely that something will go off plan on your wedding day. For most, it's going to be something very small that you'll probably not even notice. The rental company didn't send enough charger plates, but they'll send someone back to the warehouse and grab more before the guests arrive. Maybe the flower girl absolutely refuses to walk down the aisle, or better yet, the ring bearer is bitter that he doesn't also get to carry a basket of petals and picks up all of the petals dropped by the flower girl. That one actually happened this past weekend, and it was adorable. These are the little things that are more likely to go wrong, but regardless of whether you're faced with tornadoes or a cranky ring bearer, the only thing you can do is just accept it and not let it ruin your day. And even with these crazy stories, in 20 years, there's not been one thing that has been so significant that it has prevented the couple from getting married and celebrating with their loved ones. And that's what it's all about, right? So the real reason I wanted to share these stories is to stress how you have the ability to determine how these curveballs will impact your day. In each of these stories, the couple had every right to be upset, frustrated, and disappointed. And I can promise there were definitely some tears and meltdowns during some of these wedding days. But if they let those feelings take over, that would mean that they're also giving away the opportunity for the amazing moments of the day that you can still have. Remember, two things can be true at the same time. There can be a tornado evacuating your wedding, and you can still have the most amazing time on the dance floor with your guests. You can run and puke in the bathroom right after your first dance, and still have stunning photos for the rest of the evening. In each of these cases, it would have been very easy and understandable for these couples to be so disappointed that it would let them ruin their whole day. But each one of them looked at what they were given and made the best of it, and it was truly impressive. As your wedding day gets closer, remind yourself that there are going to be some little things that you just can't control and you'll have to let go of. And if you're really worried about this, or if you're prone to anxiety, make sure to check out episode 58, where we cover ways to keep your wedding anxiety in check. Now, I would love to hear from you. What curveballs have you been stressing about? Or what are you worried might come up? We'll put a venting post up in the Wedding Planning Collective Facebook group so you can get your fears out and not keep them all bottled up. And if you find these episodes helpful, I would love it if you could do me a huge favor and take a second to give me a review. It would help this podcast get out to the couples that need the wedding planning help. And of course, it would absolutely make my day. Thank you so much, and I will see you in the next episode. This episode is brought to you by the Wedding Planning Blueprint Course, the new way to plan your wedding. I've been a professional wedding planner for almost 20 years now, and though nothing can beat the excitement of a wedding day, my favorite moments are sharing the real wedding planning experiences and tips that no one else is talking about. I designed this course to help take you from feeling lost and overwhelmed to educated and in control of your wedding plans. The course includes 24 lessons that are structured to help you first create your wedding planning foundation and then build upon it in an intentional way so that you don't make one of the most common and expensive mistakes, planning your wedding backwards. The newest feature in the course, Wedding Chat GPT, allows you to ask your wedding planning questions and get professional answers 24/7. The answers are pulled from the course content, which makes the responses reliable and actionable. This will be a true game changer, saving you time and money while you plan your big day. To see a full list of what's included in the course, head to planningcollective.com/WPB course. Working with a wedding planner would literally cost you thousands, but now you can have the expert advice and tips for under $150. And while the course is a steal, I do recognize that that's still an investment. Make sure you grab our free download, Expensive Wedding Planning Mistakes, and I can promise that that alone will save you the cost of the course. You can find our free guides at planningcollective.com, and I look forward to helping you plan your wedding.